Say welcome again to Art Zany Radio. And I'm thanking you so much for being a part of this show that celebrates creating and stories. And today in the studio, I'm going to explore the Northfield Noontime Organ Recitals with founder Richard Coleman. I think, Richard, are you the founder? That's what I named you.
Yes, 12 summers ago.
Founder and producer and...
Kind of the organizer, but I have a committee that helps me too.
That's right. Yes, you do. And also, I'm welcoming Marilyn Shemp to Art Zany Radio.
Hello.
Did I say that correctly?
Yes, you're correct.
Uh-huh. And she is from the American Guild of Organists, and it's an honor to have you here to be on the show and to talk about all kinds of programming. We'll get to that in a minute. And also, way around the corner, Noah Klein is here.
Yeah, good morning.
And it's exciting to have you because I can tell you that Richard has talked about you before, so some of our listeners may even know your name already.
Wow, did not expect that.
It's just talking about being a student of the organ and, being the success that you've had, and so we'll talk a little more detailed about that. We are going to have a short show because you guys are headed up to St. Olaf for a concert, so we might as well tell everyone about that concert. Is that open to the public?
It is. It's 10 a.m. Studio A, Christensen Hall of Music. All 20 of our pipe organ encounter teenagers are playing. Each one of them has to play a little piece as the result of their teaching and studying this week.
And so I think we should start with the pipe organ encounters.
Yeah.
Because that's something we haven't talked about in conjunction with noontime organ recitals. Marilyn, do you want to start? Because you've been involved in the, you are, as I understand, leaving your post.
Right. I've been serving as the regional counselor for our North Central region of the American Guild of Organists, and that's an 8-state region. See if I can remember them all. North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas.
Illinois.
Also Minnesota. So we have 8 states in there. Nebraska is the other one. And we try to have a pipe organ encounter. Ideally, we'd like to have one in each of our 7 regions of the American Guild of Organists. This year we have 6 pipe organ encounters. The one that we have here is for young people, and of the 20 that we have there, about half of them have not experienced the organ before, and others are actually playing in churches already, so there's a wide variety of skill level.
And what are the ages of students?
13 to 18.
Wow, I think that's an exciting thing, and I guess that just shows you that if your kids are interested in something, there's probably a summer camp somewhere for pretty much anything that you can dream of.
That's pretty much true.
I wouldn't have known that there was, and to have it here hosted, we have some beautiful facilities. Yeah. I would think it's quite exciting for them to be able to sit behind the organs at some of our churches, and especially at St. Olaf.
Yep, I am from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and my chapter of the American Guild of Organists is actually hosted about 8 pipe organ encounters over the years. And it's always fun because that very first day when those kids come, it's like they all know each other. It's so unique because where else are they going to meet other young people that play the organ? I mean, we have kids that play in band, so they connect that way. We have kids who in choir that connect, but where do you connect with other kids that play the organ?
Right, and that's not an instrument you get to bring home on the bus. It's not
hardly.
It's not something that you have at home necessarily. That, yeah. You may have a piano, but which is what Richard you mentioned, that everyone who is a part of the program should have a piano
they
background.
They come with piano background, yes.
Because that's usually the step that transitions from piano to organ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Noah's been at how many pipe organ encounters, Noah?
I've been to 4 pipe organ encounters and 1 advanced program.
And so tell from the student's perspective, what was it like to find folks who were also interested in what you wanted to do and were willing to study for a week on the instrument of your choice?
Yeah, it was really interesting, like especially my first couple summer camps. I've never really met another kid my age who's played the organ. Because I was always used to being the only kid in school and in town in general.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be able to see other kids, like, see where they are in their progress with the organ and just being able to relate to them about the organ and, like, church and all that. So it was a really nice experience being around peers who had the same interests.
So you're not alone and you're not weird, right?
Yeah, all not as weird. So.
Well, I say we all should embrace our weird because
yeah,
that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And so how did you first connect with the organ?
I've been taking piano lessons before, as most organists do, since I was six. And my dad is a pastor at a local church, Trinity Lutheran Church. And I saw a flyer by Mr. Coleman offering organ lessons. And I just thought, hey, I hear the organ every Sunday. It sounds kind of cool. So I kind of want to try that.
And I think that's probably what happens, is because you have lots of buttons, and I would imagine that's a very big enticement to youngsters.
And it makes a big loud noise.
Yeah, you can command attention.
And that's right.
It's as if you're at the station, you know, you could pretend to be at a space station or something. And
command central,
yes. Right. And so then they start with that idea, but then I'm sure they're you know, captivated once they gain some experience and that they learn that it's not just noise, right? It's music, mm-hmm. and that's, I think, the part that making that transition, and I would imagine the pipe organ encounter is trying to help them with that transition.
Yeah. We usually give the kids a chance, you know, when they have different recitals and guest organists that play during the course of the week, and one of the things that we do is let the kids have some time on these different instruments, and they all sit down and play and pull stops, and it's just fun to hear them explore them.
Yeah.
I remember one of the organ camps not just one, but when we've had the pipe organ encounters in Sioux Falls, I actually got to stay in the dorm with the girls, but I told them if they wanted to get up early and practice before breakfast, I would be happy to do that. And every morning there was somebody who wanted to practice at 6:30. It was kind of, so we'd walk across the street to the church or practice on the Augie Chapel organ, but if they want to practice at 6:30, I will get up.
Well, and I would imagine, too, that's something that you want to be able to help students do, because you want to build that base of available church organists, right?
You bet, yes.
I don't know if that's part central to the program. Maybe you could speak to that, because, you know, I think sometimes there's always that one person who's the church organist at a church, and they have the job for a long time, but, you know, having some young folks in there would be really exciting.
Yes, well, and I think that's part of the reason we have these pipe organ encounter camps, is to build our base of young people and introduce young people to the organ. We also, in the last couple of years, for the American Guild of Organists, have in trying to encourage young people and push the youth, we have started something called a GOYO. All those under 30 that belong to the American Guild of Organists are automatically a part of this organization called the AGOYO,
okay.
American Guild of Organists, Young Organists.
Ah.
And they have representatives from around the region who post things on Facebook, and they have officers that meet virtually, since they're from all around the United States, so they meet virtually about once a month. The AGOYO students from our region last summer actually hosted a competition, and so they had compositions that were written, and the winning composition was performed by a young person from South Dakota.
Wow.
At our regional convention in Iowa City last summer. So that was a big project that was undertaken by our under 30 young organists.
I think that's exciting. And Noah, you have gone out to Indiana University, as I understand,
yeah.
and actually are studying organ performance.
Yeah.
And tell us about the program there at Indiana.
Yeah, I just finished my first year at the Jacobs School of Music at Indiana University, and it's a pretty big organ program. Like, it's one of their best fields in the music program there. So there's around 30 to 35 kids total in the organ program, undergrad and graduate students.
That's exciting, actually.
Yeah, and that's split between two main teachers, so each studio is around 15 people. So, yeah, there's a lot of other people to listen to, and like, especially during studio class, it can be quite busy, and like a lot of really good repertoire performed.
Mm-hmm. And so how did that feel to go from, you know, being that kid, as you said, who, you know, not most of your classmates were not playing the organ, mm-hmm. to being in a crowd of kids and you know, all wanting to succeed and impress, and tell us about those first few weeks of being surrounded.
I actually think, yeah, the pipe organ summer camps that I've been to, I think, prepped me more for that, because as the years went on, like, at least I got better, and like a lot of the students I was with got better. I went to the pipe organ encounter advanced, and obviously, as the name implies, the students are more advanced in their progress with the organ, so I kind of got used to being around other organists of higher and higher skill sets. So when I first went to Indiana, it was a bit of a shock at first. It was like, oh, these are really, really, really good
They're very talented.
Students. Yeah, but I think I fit right in. They just want you to perform. It's not really that much about competition there. I think they're all very inviting and very, because they know the organ is not the most popular instrument, so they do their best to make sure everyone feels a part of the program.
Yeah, that is. I think that would be a great experience, and I think that kind of leads us into what we talked about at the very beginning, which was the noontime organ recitals, and no one will be performing on those one of those concerts upcoming very soon.
Yeah, July 25th.
July 25th, and that concert is at All Saints Episcopal.
Yeah.
Which is just right up the street here, downtown Northfield, 419 Washington Street. And so those concerts all take place Wednesdays from 12:15 to 12:45 from July 11th. You'll take the 4th off, right?
Yes.
a lot of people may not be in town or around for that. And all the way through August 15th. So that's a
program. 7 recitals this summer.
That's exciting. And this is a program, we should tell people, you don't need tickets in advance, right?
Nope. There might be a free will offering at some of them just to defray our publicity costs, but it's come and enjoy music, eat your sack lunch in the back pew of a church if you want to. It's designed for people to just come over the noon hour and experience good organ music.
Yeah, and I think it's also fun because it gives you a chance to experience organ music. Maybe the only exposure you might have is at church. And I think having these concerts and these recitals show you the range of songs and styles and, mm-hmm. you know, color and all the things that you can play with an organ. And
it's nice as an organist to be able to play on these recitals for that exact reason. You know, you're a little limited on repertoire that you can do for Sunday morning, but if you want to work up something challenging or a little unique, here's a great opportunity for the organist.
Yeah, how common is it for communities to have something like this, a summer series of noontime recitals?
I think there's a lot of places. My own church back in Sioux Falls has a summer recital series that I'll be playing on.
Rochester, Minnesota has had one going for almost 50 years.
Yeah. Wow, I think that's, I guess this was my first exposure to mm-hmm. being around one. Now you are not on the concert series here.
No. I have played.
She has been.
Okay.
All my friends have played here.
that probably helps, right?
It does.
And you know the organ community. And so do you want to give us a preview of your concert, of what you'll be playing? And then we'll talk about Richard. You've got a concert upcoming too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm planning on playing good old-fashioned Bach Prelude and Fugue, the one that I've worked on this past year, so that should be in good shape. I'm also planning on playing the Mendelssohn 6th Organ Sonata in D minor, as well as a more modern piece by a living composer, Odd Vamis. It's Miroir, which translates to mirror. Kind of a minimalist piece.
I think that's exciting when you said a contemporary
yeah.
composer, because you do often think of just way back when.
No, okay. Yeah. Oh, there's a mm-hmm. lot of contemporary organ composers. Yeah.
Yeah,
and so, how did you find this piece?
I heard it actually a while ago at a pipe organ encounter with one of the recitalists, the faculty recitalists. So, and then this past year, my teacher recommended it to me. So like, I know that piece. I'll be.
And so then you've been studying that. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now I always find this fascinating with the organ because you practice. It's hard to find practice, right? And then mm-hmm. you're going to go, and how often do you get to be on the organ at All Saints Episcopal before you perform?
Hopefully later this summer. I haven't had a chance just yet, but I've been practicing on another organ, so hopefully I can transfer that easily to this organ.
Yeah, and I don't know that is always the case, because at least for me, looking at organs, a lot they seem...
They're all different.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What's your experience been, Marilyn?
I remember about a year ago, last January, I had the opportunity to go with the Augustana University Choir on their tour to Germany
Ooh.
And Rome, and talk about being on the hot seat. Sometimes sometimes you get to the organ, you know, an hour ahead of time, and that's your only quick register, a few pieces, kind of figure out how to turn it on, how to turn it off, and push the buttons.
I think that's
and
so impressive.
That was scary, but it was so exciting.
Well, because it has a keyboard, so you know that there's a keyboard, but like all those other, like you said, turning it on, giving, you know, knowing sometimes they have
different sounds.
Yeah.
We're the only people who don't have a uniform instrument.
Right.
Although there are some things that are uniform that you can pretty much expect, but other things that aren't so uniform.
Yeah, and I'm always impressed by that because I think that says a lot about what you need. And I think that making that transition from playing to performing is I just admire everybody who can do that because I'm intimidated. How about that?
Well, we are too sometimes by the instruments.
That does happen. So, Richard, you have a concert with the Noontime Organ. That is the one right after the 4th of July. That'll be Wednesday, July 11th at the United Methodist Church. Tell us about your...
We're doing an all-Bach program. By we, I mean Randall Ferguson, who's a classical guitarist here in town, and I are joining forces, inspired by an old LP album of organ and guitar. But I'll open and close with big Bach pieces, and then in the middle we'll do some quieter pieces, some ariosos, adagio, and Yeze Joy of Man's Desiring. So the guitar will take the lead on these, and the organ does a quiet accompaniment. And it'll be very good listening. Randall Ferguson has a good drawing in town, too. So it's a beautiful combination.
He's a maestro on that guitar.
Yeah.
And I suspect he'll probably have a few different guitars that he'll...
He might. It's going to be a very listenable concert.
And that's true. That's what the Noontime, I think the recitals are designed for, is
that's
something
right.
that you can... it's accessible. It's a half-an-hour commitment. So that folks, you know, can fit it in within their lunch break if mm-hmm. they have a traditional lunch break, and I guess I would ask, are there kids? Can kids come to these concerts?
Oh, absolutely.
Too? Okay.
Yeah, there are kids around, and all ages are welcome to show up. Absolutely.
And we should go over some of the other concerts. So we've covered the 11th and the 25th, but on the 18th you have, you mentioned to me outside before we got on the air, a special guest performing who will be in town for a conference.
Well, Dr. Catherine Rodland, who's resident composer, organist at St. Olaf, will be playing as part of the Conference on Worship Theology and the Arts at St. Olaf. But she's one of the regular organ teachers up there, and she chairs our pipe organ encounter, too.
So that's a lucky thing for us to be able to have here in Northfield. And then going into August, so there are three concerts left in July and then three in August as well. And on August 1st at the First United Church of Christ, Stephen May.
Stephen May from the Cathedral of Our Merciful Savior down in Faribault.
Yeah, he's been a guest here with
he's
you,
been,
and
yeah.
he's a
mm-hmm.
fantastic organist. He knows a lot about the history.
He really does. And then Joanne Rodland, who is Kathy Rodland's mother, is playing at St. John's Lutheran on August 8th.
Oh, I just caught that.
And she's been one of the teachers here in the pipe organ encounter, too. And then it's very exciting, on August 15th, to round out the series, Skinner Memorial Chapel organ has been renovated and rebuilt by Roland Rutz from Morristown down by Faribault. So that organ is refurbished. And Janine Hall, who's one of the organists there and a retired organist, Emeritus Larry Archbold, will share a recital on that instrument. So we're looking forward to hearing that again. It's been out of commission since about January.
And yeah, when you do a work like that, what are some of the things that they're refurbishing, or how do you bring an organ?
Well, they probably took the console and rewired it, and they took a lot of the pipes out and cleaned them and repaired things and made things work again, and rebuilding it basically.
Yeah, that.
I know our own instrument back in Sioux Falls, we added a memory system, which means you can save a lot of your settings.
Computer advantage.
So you can have electronic control.
Oh, yes. Yeah. A lot of levels for different organists. Yeah, that's a real advantage with the contemporary society.
I think that's kind of exciting, and that will probably attract even more young ones to participate. How are the practice organs out in Indiana? How many do they have, and how do you have to sign up for times? How does that work?
Not usually, but Since it's a fairly sizable program, we have like half of an entire floor of the practice building reserved just for organ practice organs. So we have about 10 or 15, can't remember exactly, practice organs.
That's a big program.
Yeah,
then.
Usually, like most days, you can find at least a couple free practice organs, but sometimes, especially right before finals, it's kind of busy, but usually you can find one, and they're mostly pretty good. And we have on the fourth floor, actually, of the practice building, the exact replica of the organ in the performance hall, like our main performance organ. Mm. So you can save all of your settings and registration on that organ, practice on it, and then transfer it with a USB stick down to the performance organ.
Now, there's a good example of electronic computer
work. Pretty
nice
luxury we have.
I would say that's a big treat, because that is probably part of making that transition from organ to organ, is you have to redo all of that pre-work to know how. And tell us some, maybe, you know, I'm not very familiar with the organ, but it'd be fun to learn just a little bit about what are some of those settings that you have to look at and think about in order to create that beautiful sound that the organ makes.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different sounds on the organ, and it depends on the piece you play and like the time period and the composer who wrote it, but they'll usually tell you what kind of sounds they want, so what mixture of sounds. But sometimes, even if they give you clear directions, like their organ would be different from your organ, so you still have to kind of adapt and do the closest thing. But with some, like especially earlier organ works, they don't specify what sounds you should use, so you just have to use like historical knowledge of what organists at that time would use. So a lot of it's just kind of guessing and just seeing what sounds right on that organ.
And because I would imagine that you need to try to recreate that, what the instrument might have been like that they had.
Yeah.
Do you turn pipes on and off? Okay, and that's maybe a very naive question, but I'm wondering, so that it changes the depth of sound or...
all of the above.
Okay.
A stop is called something you push in to stop the sound or pull out to get the sound, yeah. That gets into the complication of the building of the instrument. I was just thinking, Noah, you must have a bigger organ program in Indiana than even St. Olaf does. And St. Olaf has a very significant national undergraduate organ program. I think they have about 12, 15 majors up here, too. Mm-hmm. So right here in town, we have a good-sized program.
Yeah, and they have a couple of different places that you can do performances. And I think I think that's really wonderful. What do you see as the future of organ? And where are you hoping that some of these young students will continue to, what will they be doing with the organ?
Well, definitely our churches are in need of young organists and talented young organists that, you know, can support the singing and continue the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting to see programs like what's happening at Indiana and here at St. Olaf. That's very important to the survival. So reaching out to our young people with these pipe organ encounters is vital.
Yeah.
And one of the workshops to this week was hymn playing, you know, very basic hymn playing for kids, getting them into that too. So, yeah, we got to start training them earlier if we want to have any organists for the future.
What are some of those first steps that you take when you transition from piano to organ? What are some of the things that they've learned this past week, let's say, at the pipe organ encounter?
Well, getting acquainted with the pedals, for one thing.
Okay, so they're not the same as the piano, then?
Well,
actually, the fact that there's...
piano is the keyboard is basic, but then you have to add your pedals for the organ. And so coordination of the left and right hands with the feet, you know, that's one of the things.
Yeah, to learn the proper pedal technique.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just hopping all over the keyboard with your toes, because there is a pattern.
We use toes and heels. Yeah,
I think that's one of the things that you taught me, was to sometimes watch the feet of an organist.
Oh, it's very entertaining.
And is that something, how do you have to train your feet in addition to training your fingers?
Yeah, it takes a bit of coordination at first, especially, with the proper pedal technique, which even I still have some problems with. But, the pedal is probably like the most challenging for piano players coming to organ, but also just like all the stops you have on either side, like what sound they produce. So just getting used to like there's four classes or four different types of sounds on the organ. There's the principal sound, which is what most people think of when they hear an organ. Mm. There's a flute sound, which is like a woodwind kind of sound. reed, which sounds kind of like trumpets and things of that nature. And strings, which is a little bit more of like a... I don't know how to describe it. Yeah, like violin, viola. Those kind of... Tries to recreate it best with winds, but yeah, in that kind of sense.
And within every one of those families of sounds, there are infinite numbers of stops. Mm-hmm. So... It gets complicated. We're the ultimate multitaskers. Probably jet airplane pilots multitask as much as we do. But
yeah, you know. I think yeah, because you and I know that just even playing piano, trying to get my left hand to do something different.
Then add your feet.
Exactly right, and that feels like that might be a juggling, you know, a feat of I don't know how you manage.
It's always interesting to watch beginning organists. Our left hand and our feet like to do the same things. So.
Yeah, and we train them to do different things independently of each other.
Yeah. So when your left hand goes up, your feet want to go up or vice versa. But I think one of the other things that's challenging about learning the organ is learning to do something called finger substitution. On the piano, in order to connect, we can use the damper pedal. Mm-hmm. So you can easily pick up your hands and hop to the next key or next chord, but not so on the organ. You have to learn how to...
Play
be
smoothly.
A snake, shall we say.
So every sound is heard. There's not an opportunity to have that blend, if you will.
Yeah, well, you know, just learning how to connect the notes so you can play a legato, especially when you're playing chords. And so good finger technique is really important. Mm-hmm.
And is the finger, if you've been trained on piano, the way to, you know, shape your fingers and what part of
all
your
that
finger...
applies.
It does apply. So the keyboard functions essentially, except for the fact that not only do you have one keyboard, you
might have more than one, you might have a pedal board too.
Yeah. And what is a pedal board?
Well,
on the
you play with your feet.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
2.5 octaves of big keys down there, yeah.
And people might wonder why we have more than one keyboard, but that's so that because we have so many different variety of sounds, so you can have one sound for a solo, and then the left hand might be doing something quiet underneath. But sometimes our hands cross each other, and you can't do that on the piano. I know I've tried to, a lot of times when I'm learning a new Bach prelude and fugue, I will start on the piano, but... If you have spots where your hands cross each other, then you have to practice one hand an octave higher or one an octave lower. So then you have to rethink when you actually get to the organ, you know, to make sure you're in the right octave. So, yeah, that crossing of hands, because there's so much counterpoint, especially in the early stuff.
Wow, that must take a lot of focus to be at the keyboard and be, you know, making what you intend. And having so that, I think that's a very exciting thing that the noontime organ recitals they've started. There was a concert earlier last week
this week. At St. Olaf. Yeah,
that's
we
right.
had over 100 people there, and four St. Olaf organ students played. It was wonderful.
What an exciting kickoff for this season, and I think that it's becoming a tradition, and I hope that you are continuing to fill with talented organists from all over who come to our community, because I do think that is one thing that's unusual, is all the different places that you can play here.
Yeah, it makes quality of arts life very high in Northfield. Very attractive.
Mm-hmm. And are we missing one other component of organ that we were going to talk about? Upcoming concerts or...
I might just add that when we've had our pipe organ encounter in Sioux Falls, Noah was one of our attendees. So it is really exciting for Richard Coleman and myself to see young people like this, what they do after attending the pipe organ encounters to be there. And then I can add one other little plug for our pipe organ encounters. Noah mentioned we have pipe organ encounter advanced. We also have a POE technical. If the students are interested in organ building, there is an organ camp, a POE, that has to do with organ building. Particularly, I think right off the top of my head, the University of Oklahoma has an organ building program, which is headed by John Schwant, who I believe is
a
former St. Olaf grad.
A lot of St. Olaf grads out there.
They've hosted a technical.
I love that.
Yeah, and we also have a POE for adults, so those 19 and older. you know, especially adults who have very little organ experience and are maybe playing in their churches or who want to mm-hmm. learn. So we, you know, we don't just reach the youth, but we have other areas too.
And if people are interested, where would they go to get the details of those programs?
Our national website, American Guild, just plug in American Guild of Organists, and
A-G-O.
There's a ton of information. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was mentioning to the students last night, on our website, there's a series of 30 short little videos for beginning organists if you want to know a little bit more about how to do proper pedal technique, how to register for hymns, hymn playing, 30 short little videos that anybody can watch that goes onto the website. So there's a wealth of material there.
Yeah, again, we bring the technology that mm-hmm. you know gives that transition, and I suspect that that could create a whole other generation of organ players, because you know before you'd have to make sure that you had a community that had a teacher, mm-hmm. had an organ, and had the time that you could practice before you could, and now you can do some of these things online and
yeah. or. Skype a lesson with a teacher. I hear people who do
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah, that's available.
I can't. That would be a challenging, because I usually think of a delay, but they can make it work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've learned so much about the organ, and I know you have to get back up to St. Olaf to do the concert. Hear the students who've been a part of this encounter, and what a wonderful way for them to cap off their week here is to be able to play something that they've learned. For an audience on the organ. And we are so excited that you're back here visiting and have the opportunity to tell us a little bit about your experiences. And where do you think that you might go, you know, after I know you're just through your first year, but what are your dreams when it comes to the organ?
I would like to continue in church work. I do like playing, like, hymns in front of congregations and leading choirs, so I do really enjoy that. So hopefully I can make a career out of that and maybe teach or perform, but yeah, we'll see. I'm still just in my second year, but that's the goal.
Yes, and we also were talking earlier that you're headed off to a big trip to Finland, so I hope you get to experience some organs out there.
If you see an organ or two, that would be pretty nice.
Exactly. Well, I want to thank Richard Coleman for bringing this lineup together today. What a superstar conversation we've had. Thank you for being here again. And
you're
also,
welcome.
Yeah, Marilyn Shemp. It's a pleasure to meet you. I hope that we have some other future encounters, and I'm just thrilled that you were able to join us.
Thank you.
And also Noah Klein, who is now at Indiana University, and I hope that you'll come back. You will be here for the concert on the 25th at All Saints Episcopal, and Richard, again, is playing on the 18th.
11th,
I got the wrong one, at the United Methodist mm-hmm. Church. So, and every week on Wednesday, I just say set your alarm. All of us have carries alarms with our phones now, so about 11:45.
And we're averaging about 100 people at these programs, so it's good support.
Yeah, and it's so then you can find other people who like to listen to organ music, too.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to send you on your way so that you can all make it to the concert and don't have any delays. I don't want you to walk in late to the concert, especially for those young students who might be feeling a tiny bit nervous about... Do you think... I think Richard thought that perhaps even more than a tiny bit. So as we step out, I'm probably going to play... let's see. I'm going to start... I started with this song. This is a new one. This is from the Great Organ Classics. Martin Souter is the organist, and this is called Music for the Royal Fireworks, and I thought that would be kind of a fun way to send them off into the world. So we'll play that for just a minute here on Art Zany Radio. And folks, that was music for the Royal Fireworks. That's a Handel piece, and that was played by from the Great Organ Classics. And the musician again, I believe, was Martin Souter on Art Zany Radio. I thought that was kind of a fun piece. I think we're going to go and play another piece from that particular selection. And this one, Richard thought that we should play again. I'm going to go ahead and cue that up. This is, because it is almost the 4th of July, seems very appropriate to play the Stars and Stripes Forever, again arranged by Martin Souter, from that Great Organ Classic. So you can get yourself in the mood for whatever celebrations you might be having as we take a look at July. Can you believe that we've already rolled over to July? I'm going to go ahead and play that now as we listen to some more great organ music in celebration of organ.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Martin Souter. He was the performer there on Great Organ Classics. And that was for in honor of this upcoming beautiful celebration of the 4th of July next week. And I also want to thank my guests who were here a little bit earlier as we celebrated the annual Northfield Noontime Organ Recitals, as well as the American Guild of Organists and the organist pipe organ experience that is happening right now at St. Olaf, and a great celebration of a beautiful instrument that I think is something I'm always impressed. As I was listening to that Stars and Stripes, I was imagining what my fingers would be doing, or maybe you wouldn't be listening to me playing that, but how it might be to observe someone who is engaged in that song and watching their feet is something that's a lot of fun as well. You might be also, if you're out and about, interested to know that the Young People's Theater Workshop is having their first session performances. That is today, Friday the 29th of June at 10 a.m. That is out at Arcadia Charter School. That is a program that gives young people an experience in creative drama and performance, and they each group is given a theme, and then they go ahead and by age group create in this very short period of time a beautiful play complete with lines that they have to memorize and props they use, and there's a technical aspect to it as well. It is a really fun and exceptional show, and I think the best part is that you get to see the young people as they go from the first experiences of third and fourth graders all the way up to the seniors and the high school students, and the ways that the plays change and the topics that are covered, and it's really a beautiful experience. So if you can't make it to this one, there is a second session of the Young People's Theater Workshop, and I don't know if they have any spots available. If you have a young one at home who might be interested, it is an extraordinary program here in Northfield and a great, great summer experience. I also want to mention at the Northfield Arts Guild, Freeform is currently in the gallery. Last week, my guests were Barbara Bend and Jim Bonhoff, two of the artists who are appearing in the sculptural celebration, I guess you could call it, of all things mixed media. There's both small and large scale functional works in bronze, ceramic, fiber, mixed media, silver, steel, and wood. And that exhibit is now through July 14th. And it's a really extraordinary celebration. I think that the way that they've set up the space for this particular gallery show is quite inviting and exciting, and also something that I never expected with a lot of movement in these pieces. So I highly recommend that you go and visit the Northfield Arts Guild Gallery to take a look at that. And I did want to mention, too, because I had talked about having an interview played for that I had with Ahmed Ismail Youssef, who is the author of The Lion's Binding Oath, play today. We went a little bit long with the organ recital experiences, and I actually want to take what we did in that interview and expand that, and so I'll be broadcasting that a little bit later this summer. Ahmed Ismail Youssef came to Northfield to promote his book, The Lion's Binding Oath, which is a collection of stories that celebrates life in Somalia, and that is before it became a war-torn country. So it celebrates the family stories, the stories of clans and lovers and friends, and their, you know, cultural experiences, religious experiences, and historical ties, and there are stories that take place both in Somalia and in America. He's an author living in Minneapolis who came to Minnesota many years ago, and I got a chance to see him at Content Books. It's an incredible book. It's a lot of fun to read, and he is just a very wise, wonderful man. So I'm going to try and expand that into a full show where I maybe include some music from Somalia and some, hopefully some poetry. He read some the evening that he was at Content, and I was very impressed. I will have to get a recording. doing, because I don't know that I would be able to do it as beautifully as he did. And as he told us, Somalia is a country that is known for its poetic skills, and that is certainly true. The language is absolutely beautiful. So I will be bringing that to you a little bit later this summer. I am Paula Granquist, and this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. We're going to wrap up a little bit early today so that we can get going on our holiday weekend. I am hoping that all of these experiences that you have on Art Zany Radio let you remember that art is within all of us, and that you always remember to add some Art Zany to your life. So I thank you very much for listening. I hope in the meantime, until next time, you will enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.